Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning. Good morning, Cerrito House of Worship. Welcome to the coolest church in town. Wait, wait. Hey, I'm talking temperature here, not temperature. Okay. Yeah, temperature, okay? Coolest church, temperature-wise. No, but if you're here, you're at a Spirit-filled church. So this church is the most Spirit-filled church in Green Valley, Sahuarita. So you guys are in the right place. So I want to open up with prayer. Dear Lord, we lift up the United States to you this day, but we also lift up Israel. We come and place a hedge of protection over these countries. We pray for peace throughout the world. We pray for the anointed people to step up. We pray that you would come and intercede for what is happening. We know it takes a supernatural force to bring peace to the world, and we declare it this day in the name of Yeshua. We thank you, Lord, for everyone here. We thank you that the blessing of your kingdom is here, and it's over every heart that's here in attendance. And we thank you in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen.
Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Amen. Okay. For those of you that weren't here last week, just a little quick backlog. Of how I inherited a permanent disability placard when my sister passed away. And I had all these surgeries on my feet, used the disability placard for a while, it was in the car, got used to having it there. If I was in a hurry for something, was using it. Then the Lord said, do you want to claim permanent disability? I said, not really. He says, well, then why don't you choose life? Woo! Woo! Yes! Woo! And I did. And thought it might be a tad more effective for not just me, but for y'all. If I came here and I brought that placard and I cut it up in little pieces, yes, which I did. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Satan did not want me to be able to come up here today and tell you the rest of the story of what happened this week. But thank God that the Holy Spirit prevailed. Tuesday morning, that little ripple effect that we have, we got together for prayer and we're sitting around the table and praying in the Spirit and worshiping. And I was like just scratching my leg a little bit. And I thought, I can feel that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because before, if you touch my legs, it was getting to the place where up to my knees, I could hardly feel. I didn't even know you were touching them. So I got up, marched around the room, and we prayed and worshiped and for probably about an hour or more, I guess. And I know I'm going to let anybody else that was touched by that come up and give their own testimony. But little Debbie here, who's been doing my pedicures and that, she's been prophesying over this right foot that my big toe's going to grow out. So that'll be another story when that happens. I might come up barefoot and, you know, let y'all see it. But here is Joel 2, verse 25. And I will compensate you for the years that the cankerworm or the swarming locust has eaten. So I figure he took off my toe, but we're going to get it back again. The creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust. My great army, which I sent among you, you will have plenty to eat and satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord, your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. And you shall know without any doubt that I am in the midst of Israel to protect and bless you. And I am the Lord your God. And there is no other. My people will never be put to shame. And with the promise of the Spirit, it shall come about after this, that I shall pour out my Spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and I believe you. I take that prophecy that my toe's coming back. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and the female servants, I will pour out my Spirit. And I will show you signs and wonders, displaying my power in the heavens and on the earth. Blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into blackness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved from the coming judgment. Thank you, Jesus. I'll come back with another chapter when it's written.
Good morning. I believe I have a word from the Lord for this time. And after the Lord fasted for 40 days, he said the kingdom is at hand. So the kingdom is in operation. The economy of the kingdom is operating now, not as the world operates. So he wants us to learn how to work in this kingdom, how to operate in this kingdom. You see, in Psalm 23, in the King James Version, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In the NIV, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything." Okay? We who are in the kingdom shouldn't lack anything. We are moving in a supernatural realm. Okay? Another way, "The Lord is my king, I lack nothing." If we have lack in our vocabulary or in our mind, you're operating from your mind. When you're operating faith, you're operating from your heart, okay? When you're walking with the Lord, you're operating from your heart. You know that the Lord is your king. You're not saying, "Oh, my bills are piling up." You go, "No, Lord. You said you take care of every need. You may have one last meal, but he's going to make sure you have it." Okay? Like Paul said, he celebrated with having much, and he celebrated with having little. But the Lord will always provide when you need it. You know? We need to walk in this supernatural realm and hold fast to this realm. Okay? Now, in James 4:2, it says that you have not because you ask not. Life and death is in the power of your tongue, okay? In God's kingdom, it's voice activated. We know about Alexa, we know about Echo. If we have a Alexa, we go, "Echo, turn on the light," does it turn on? No. You gotta say the right words. Like Henry's been preaching, Pastor Henry, read the word, read the word, read the word. God only listens to his word. So when we pray, we need to pray God's word back to him. And in Isaiah 55:11, it says that, "So shall my word be which goes from my mouth, it shall not return to me void." Okay? That's how the kingdom operates. It's voice activated. He goes, "You speak my word to me, it's going to come back to you, and it's not going to be void." Amen? So now, when we pray to God and we ask him for something, it's done. You come the next day and you say the same prayer again and again, that's doubt. Doubt is a killer of faith and seed. In the kingdom, faith and seed is the pillars. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Seed is what we give. But if you have doubt, he says, "He that doubts is going to do without." If you doubt, you're not going to get nothing. Okay, so when you give to God, what you do to put the stamp of approval in that you receive it, you say thank you. You say thank you. You pray, God, "I need this, thank you." Right after you say thank you, it's on the way. And the more you thank him, the faster he'll come back to you.
Right.
You don't go and go back and rehash what you need. In a kingdom, there's no begging in a kingdom. We don't go on the corner and ask for food or money. In a kingdom, you just get in line and says, King, I need this. Okay, you get it. He says, operate in that economy. If you need something, come to him, ask for him, thank him, and rejoice. We come here, we rejoice because he answers all our prayers. That's why we're here. We're here to worship God and thank him for answering all our prayers. You know, amen. So I would like us to repeat after me. Dear Lord, you supply all my needs through your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. By the stripes you took on your body, I am healed of every infirmity. And I say thank you. When we say amen, it says, so be it unto me. Amen. So be it unto me. God bless you.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm shaking. I should not be up here. But I have to be. I have to be. Okay, I'm not going to cry. Tuesday. Ripple effect. It is an amazing time to take time aside to just glorify, honor, and worship our Lord. As Marianne said, and she walked around, she was marching all over the room, and she was stomping her feet, and I was sitting there looking, and we were all just laughing and praising and praying and thinking how wonderful it was. Well, I don't know if any of you have noticed, but I have been using a cane because I need a knee replacement. And I've been having a lot of pain in my leg, in my knee. So my dear friend walked over to me, put her hand on my shoulder and said, you're next. Because we had prayed for Marianne, we had prayed for several people, and I just sat there thinking, praise God, how amazing you are. Marianne said, okay, it's your turn. And I kind of struggled to get up, stood up. They laid their hands on me and they prayed and they prayed. And I kept thinking, Lord, I'm used to this, but I'd like to stand in for a couple of people that I know that are struggling. So I stood in accepting the prayers for my friends, for my sister. And I kept thinking, okay, it's getting hot. There's too many people around me. I'm getting claustrophobic now, and they've been praying a long time. I think they need to stop. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, do I just walk away? Do I say I'm okay? My leg still hurts, but it's all right because it's all right. I'm standing in for my people that I love. And they just kept praying and praying and praying. And then I asked the Lord, I want to continue to learn how to speak in tongues. Because I would say a few words, and that's as far as it would go. But when we were praying, it's like the words started coming out, and Yeshua just blessed me, and I was speaking more and praying more in tongues. And then I just said, okay, Lord, I surrender to you. Shortly after long prayer session, my knee felt good. I started to do this with it, and I started to walk around with it. And now for 2 days, it was amazing. The enemy did try. The enemy did try to intervene, and I struggled for a couple of days, but I refused to pick up the cane. And I, I, I was walking funny, and it was starting to hurt. And then, I don't know, last night sometime, I said, okay, I can't. Lord, I stand on your word. I know I am healed, but I need a little help. So I picked up the cane, and I walked, and I walked. This morning, I got up, got ready for church, and I came, and I haven't picked it up again. So I give all praise and glory to God.
When I come up to you and I didn't say, it's your turn, I said, God is no respecter of persons. Okay? All right. Okay?
Amen.
He's no respecter of persons. Amen. And he tried to get me on Tuesday and Wednesday too, and I could hardly take a step in the house. I was like, Satan, you have no power. Amen. Amen. No power. No.
How many of you know that we're coming to a time where our understanding that he's more than able in every situation is extremely important? Right? Like, we have a lot of things that I hear people say constantly, right? Because they're normal things that we hear in church, right? Like, I'm more than a conqueror, and all things are possible, you know, through those who love Christ. All things are possible to those who love Christ, right? Then there's also the faith with a mustard seed can move mountains. They're like those things that everybody knows, right? But it's coming to a point where it's no longer just what you can recite, but it's what you're doing, right? There's a major difference between us just coming into church and knowing who God is and really knowing who God is and what he's doing in our life, right? See, there's all these things happening, right? In the world, it can even be here. Like, we've been dealing with the little pipe bomb things in Rancho Sahuarita, all that stuff. And you know what? I had somebody talk to me like during the week, and they were like, what are you gonna do? Because one was like right by your house. And I think she was a little frustrated that I wasn't more like worked up. But it wasn't that I wasn't worked up because, oh, you know, that's not something to worry about. That wasn't my thought process. Like, oh yeah, that's not good, right? But see, if we're always functioning in the kingdom, like we're going after God, going after his word, spending time in prayer and worship, and just allowing ourselves to really literally live in the kingdom, right? Then when things like that happen, your reactions aren't the same. They're just not. I could get all excited. Oh my gosh. Like, oh no. I know I read a thing that somebody even was like, if this isn't figured out before my kids go back to school, I'm not sending my kids to school, right? See, that is fear that the world is used to living in, because they don't know that there's a God that controls it all, right? And that's the thing is, see, we should always be resting in the kingdom, right? Always tapping in, always knowing that in every single thing that happens, it's not just words on a page, but it's the truth when it says all things work together for good.
Amen. Hallelujah.
See, I feel like this has been like a theme in our church.
Sorry.
This constant like speaking these words. And so much of it is because he's saying, come on, grab onto it and start walking in it. Because that's the thing. Things are going to begin to happen. And that's okay. Because if you understand who it is that is the king over all of it, then you're not going to worry about it, because you're going to know, okay, God, What are you doing? What do you have for me? Because I'm ready. I'm equipped. I'm ready for what you want to do. I'm ready for whatever you're going to bring on. I'm ready for you to have an outpouring through me. Great. Because that's the thing, is if we're tapping in, it's pouring out, right? And they're going to begin to see a difference in the way you walk, in the way you do things, in the way you move, in the way you react, in the way that you handle situations, Amen. The way you, all of it, right?
Come on.
See.
Praise God.
One of my, you know, this week I was reminded, I'm going to, really quickly, okay, because I know you're ready now. Okay,
sorry.
This week, I really, really enjoyed. If you have not heard it, Brandon Lake came out with a new song. It's called Daddy's DNA. I'm not going to lie to you. I heard this song and literally cried in my car forever. It was so good. It's just a really good song, right? But he's talking about the prodigal son is really what it's about, right? But I think he's actually, too, also letting it come from, like, his what God did for him, too, right? But anyways, I really enjoyed because kind of a long time ago, it was a while back, God gave me this idea for like, it's, I don't know, it was a play with the kids' names, DNA design, right? Anyways, but in the last week, God's really been giving me a lot of like scriptures talking to us about who we are. Are like literally piecing it together with DNA, right? Like, who we're designed to be, who we are in Him, how we're meant to function, the things we're meant to do, but really just like coming in hard, right? Okay, so all of that He had been really giving me a bunch of scriptures on. I've been really enjoying it. It's been so good. Like literally just like, oh, it's so amazing. But anyways, then I listened to this song. And it's just a really great song. You really have to listen to it. But anyways, He talks about it. He goes through how Daddy told me not to worry about what the world had, right? But I wanted to know, so I went after it, right? And then He talks about how I went through, you know, I racked up debts. I created all these problems in my life, basically, right? It's talking about all of it. It's like, it's the prodigal son, okay? So it's talking about all of it. But then at the end, it switches. And it talks about how, because it talks about how, like, I danced with the devil, I racked up debts, I did all this stuff, right? And then it talks about how God, He took away all the debts. He danced with the devil and defeated him. He did, like, right? And it goes through all this stuff. And it's just really awesome. It's a really powerful song. It's really good, right? But at the end, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, He said, underneath all the rubble was always my daddy's DNA. See, that's the thing.
Come on.
That's the thing. You can make decisions because He gave you a choice. You can decide to take these routes and do all that stuff, but no matter what, you were created in the image of God. You were created to be great. You were created with all of these gifts and all of these things that He's just... It's like the image I got is like He's just waiting to unwrap and show them to you. Like, here's this. Here's this. Here's another piece for you, right? Don't ever think that the gifts of the Spirit weren't meant for you, because they were. See, that's the thing. We were created in His image.
That's right.
We were created like Him. And all of the things that He wants to give you, they're created for you. It's just that we gotta be running after Him hard. We gotta be hungering and thirsting
Hallelujah.
For the things
yes,
He
Lord.
Has. See?
Yes, Lord.
I understand the...
That's right. Come on. That's right.
It's not anything that He's doing to come after you. It's us who lets things become an issue in our life. See, and what you guys did, what I loved hearing, is that you said, nope. you're not becoming an issue in my life. You're not rising up. I'm not going to allow it because I'm going to function in a kingdom that God's created me to function in. I'm going to walk in a way that God's desired me to walk in. I'm going to do things that you want me to do, not that everybody else wants me to do. I'm going to leave you with one last thing. When he gave me that idea, right, for DNA design, this was years ago, okay? Have done nothing with it since. I even created a logo, did a design, all this stuff, and was like, I guess it's nothing, right? How many years later, he's bringing it back, right? But can I tell you that we have gone through so many things that when he started to give me these things, I was like, God, nope. I'm not touching. No new business, no nothing. I'm good. I'm in a different place, going in a different direction, and I don't want anything to do with that. I'm gonna be honest, that was my right initial thought process, right? And see, I did a business certification with Eller at the U of A. I've worked in business for quite a while now where, to be honest, like opening them, starting them up, doing all the paperwork, doing it, like I've done that for businesses for quite a while now. And I do know that I've been taught all these things, that this is the way it happens. This is the way it goes. Here's our budget, here's our payroll, here's our this, right? Like, I know all those things. And I'm about to sound a little crazy. I know, especially to some of you, because I know some of you are probably really big in these areas, right? But when he started talking to me about this DNA stuff, he reminded me, I read a book kind of a long time ago, the owner of Hobby Lobby, right? And the part that stood out to me so much that I went and dug through all my old books to find this book, right? Because I was like, I know what he's talking about. Like, I remember what he's talking about, right? So I went and looked at this book. One of the things I loved is the very beginning of the book talks about how he says, people come to his business and tell him, I don't know how your business is even still functioning. This is not the way they teach you to run it in school.
That's right.
It's not the way that you're supposed to run a business at all. And in it he says, because my business isn't run the way the world runs a business. My business is run by the way God's taught me to run business.
There you go.
The book is really good because it actually talks about in it. It says that he was running it according to the way you're supposed to run a business, and he was drowning. His business was going under. It was not doing well. He said he... I related to this at one point. He literally said, my business was so backwards that he said that he literally would hide under his desk at work. Because he didn't want to answer phone calls. He didn't want to deal with people. And he said, I was paralyzed in a business that I thought, like, this is what I was supposed to be doing, and it wasn't working, right? And you know, he did something that we all got to learn how to do. Instead of going, hey, this is how I have to fix my business because I know business and I know that these are the steps I have to take, he said, the time I started hiding under my desk, I started using to pray. He said he just started praying in the spirit, praying about his business. God, I need whatever you're going to do. I need you to show me what to do. I need you. And slowly God began to give him all the different ways that he wanted him to function in his business. He said it wasn't all at once. It wasn't all right, but that it like slowly happened, right? Anyways, I read this book, I really liked it, I thought it was really great. And it was relevant to my life at the time, right? Well, I gotta make this quick. Okay, so basically it was relevant to my life at the time because our business went from thriving, doing really great, COVID happening, and it just kind of going nuts, right? And so this is the thing, is that when COVID happened, there was an area of time where you really had like this forgiveness thing, right? So if we would have filed for bankruptcy in that time, like it would have been a really easy way out and really great, right? Anyways, okay. Talked to God, prayed about it, really prayed about it, and nope, that's not what you're doing. Ah, okay, so then I'm not gonna lie. This has been years now, right? Think about COVID, okay? Of me being like, God, you are not telling me what to do, and at this point I'm frustrated, right? And can I just tell you, God is amazing. If you just let him teach you how to do things, people can have their input all they want. I guarantee you, people will tell you, this is what you should be doing. This is how you should be doing it. This is how you need to fix it. This is how you need to do this. This is how you need to do that. And can I tell you, I scrambled for years knowing that God was telling me to wait. But hearing people tell me, like, you really should be doing this now, right? And I scrambled for years going, okay, I'm going to do that. Okay, let me see. I'm going to fix this and do it this way. Until I finally came to a point of full surrender. All right, God, everything I'm trying, everything I'm doing, I'm exhausted. I'm done. I'm tired. And I don't want to do it anymore. And literally surrendered, right? My husband and I both talked about it, and we said, we're going to lay it down. We're just going to give it to him. And we're going to know that he's going to provide what's needed and that he's going to do what he wants to do in it. And we're going to stop. We're going to stop sticking our hands in it. We're going to stop thinking like all of this stuff, right? And can I tell you that as somebody who's worked in business for so many years, it felt like torture. Like, it literally felt like, oh, I should be doing these things, God, and I don't know what you want me to do. You know what I mean? But I refuse to just pick it back up out of fear. Like, okay, I said I'm giving it, right? See, so often we say, here is this thing, God. But then as we get scared, we're like, oh, but I'm just going to take a piece. Hold on, let me just get a little bit of that back. Or as we see our finances going down, we're like, well, let me just re-implement some of these things that I was doing before, right? We have to learn that full surrender means full surrender. It means not just handing it over, but just like last week, but getting rid of it so you can't pick it back up. Allowing him to move no matter what. And can I tell you, if you just, in the moments, you're ready to run to pick that thing back up, I just encourage you, go after God. You are coming to a time, oh my Lord, I can feel it so much right now. We are coming to a time, I think this is for the church too, we are coming to a time where you're going to think, this is impossible. I don't know how we're going to make it happen. I don't know how we're going to make it go. I don't know how we're going to complete this building. But God is going to provide every bit if we learn as leaders, as a church, to lay it down.
That's right.
Stop worrying about how and start looking at the one who creates the path for you.
That's right. Come on.
See, if we start allowing him to show us, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to do it. And this is what you need to know. It's going to be way more powerful than any book, school, or powerful leader can teach us to
do
something.
Come on, praise God.
See,
that's it.
We have to learn his role. He is king over all. And that means that that when we think this is the way it has to be, he's telling us, but I want you to do it this way. And we have to start learning to be okay with saying, you know what? That's right. Because it's you, God. And I trust what you're telling me. Whew. We come to an area that is much... Okay, I'm going to share way more than I need to. But nothing has changed for me. We're still trusting. We're still in God. And can I tell you, I want to pick that thing up all the time. But God has provided every need.
Man, that's right.
We still have a home that our mortgage is way lower than what other people are paying. We have family, we have food, we have all the things we need because God provides. And yes, I 100% know that he has more. But I've come to a place where I am okay with allowing him to do it. See, and that's where we have to go. We have to get to a point where we realize it's covered. You got it. I just want to do what you have for me. I just want to be doing what you want me to do. See, and when we do that, that's when the church begins to rise up and be so much more effective to the people around it than we could ever be by ourselves.
Right.
See, it's a changing that happens in our life. Sometimes it's a lesson, right? A lot of times. For me, I'm going to tell you, I know that the tearing down was to get rid of all of the things I thought had to be. And for me to realize, like, it doesn't have to be that way because God is providing in the most odd and different way. And it's better. It's better than... And can I tell you, it's also more rest. It's more rest knowing I'm not toiling and going nuts for nothing anymore. I'm actually going nuts over what God has and letting it produce far more than anything I ever did before. See, allow God to give you things. Allow him to push you forward. Allow him to give you the things he wants you. And do not think that things have to be done the way the world tells you they have to be done, but allow him to give you direction and go in that direction. Amen. Don't just let fear make you think you're going under or it's ending or everything's done. Allow him to give you what he's giving you so that he can build you up to more than we could ever ask or think.
Amen.
Anything that we could ever even dream, to be honest. He will place things in your life for you, okay?
Amen. Praise
I'm really
God.
Sorry.
That's okay. Man. That's good. Ooh, hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many know that's what God looks for? He looks for your heart. He sees how your heart responds to things and what's going on in your heart when things happen on the moment. And so God knows how to get things out. Can you say amen? He knows how to take things out of you. I'm going to just say this to you. Think about this, if you will. Think about the Word of God says that in, I think it's in Ezekiel, he talks about, he sees the temple, and in the temple there's a throne, and in the throne there's water coming out. Have you guys seen that in the scriptures, how it talks about the water that's flowing out from underneath the throne? And this throne, and well, Ezekiel's with an angel, and the angel tells him, gives him a measuring reed, and tells him, "Hey man, let's measure this," you know. And so, as he walks through, as he goes through this water, the Bible says that his ankles are in the water up to his ankles. And so he goes to one side, and then they go back again to measure it again. He said the second time they passed through, it was up to their knees. The third time they went through, it was up to their waists. This water that's flowing out of the throne. And then he said when they went to go back to go through it again, it was water that was a mighty river is what it said. Can you picture this mighty river flowing up from the throne of God where God is, this mighty river flowing? And he said it was waters to swim in. It was, if you're going to cross this, you're going to have to swim across. Is that okay? Can you say amen to that? Amen. You're going to have to be immersed in that water. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me just say this to you. Get your swimming trunks on, folks. There is a deluge coming.
Amen.
There is a flood coming to the body of Christ. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I was told by a young lady, her name is Liz Estrada. She used to sing with my daughter. She used to sing up at First Assembly. She said, Henry, I saw a dream. I had a dream about you. And there was out of Madera Canyon this rolling river that flowed down, and you're standing right in front of it. And she goes, and I looked, I go, where'd he go? And she goes, and I woke up. I said, did I drown? She goes, I don't know. God has given me, God has shown me some things, but I will tell you that there's something about the river. There is something about that water. Amen? Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Rivers. Not just a river. It says rivers of living water.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
If you know anything about a river, it generally stays in one place. Is that right? But when you got rivers, they're going all over the place. Is that right?
Yeah.
Out of your belly shall flow rivers. I'm just of living water. I'm not going to keep you too long. But I do know that the Lord wants me to speak on something here. And it's called the water of life and what it is. Got a little bit of a ring here. Can we? I don't know if Hello. That's getting better. The water of life. If you will, open your Bibles, if you have them with you, to Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. Acts 3, 1 through 19. Mm-hmm. I would say that one of the things in my heart that as a pastor is I want people to get in the water. Can you say amen to that? I know that the water is good for you. Can you say? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Because the water is the flow of the Spirit of God. Can you say? Can you see what I'm saying to you? I mean, I was in Sierra Vista yesterday, and a very good friend of mine, one of my favorite friends, I guess, and I would try to speak to him about the things of God, but it was almost like he kept stopping the flow. Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, okay, it's okay, Henry. I know you're a churchy guy. Yeah, okay, I know you're a pastor. Okay, he'd always kind of stop the flow. But my heart's desire was not to just, I don't know, I'm going to try to convert him. Can you say amen?
Right.
I'm not trying to do the work that the Holy Spirit can do. I was just trying to give him some truth. Let him hear some things. Because there's a river in me. Now, when I begin to speak, I know it begins to flow.
Yes.
Most of the time, I get back there and I'm kind of jittery to get up here on the front because I'm not a real good. I had a guy tell me yesterday, he goes, man, you need to work on your speech. On your speeches is what he told me. I said, because I'm not a speech guy. I'm a preacher. And I mean, when I go to preach, I go to pray. I go to say the things that God has given me to say. I speak only what I know. I try not to move in areas. Unless he leads me there, I try not to move in those areas that he's not taking me to. because I want to deliver what he has to say, not what I'm. How many know that his ways are better than our ways?
Yes.
His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And that's what I want to move in. I really don't want to move in the way people think. Just like my daughter was saying, people think that this is the way things should be done. I don't want to move that way. I want to move the way the Holy Spirit wants us to move. And sometimes it looks different. Can you say amen? Sometimes it's going to sound different. It's going to be different. People aren't going to be used to it. They're going to say, well, you're a little off, man. It's okay. Because God does things differently. He's got different ways of doing it. And a lot of times he doesn't do the same thing the same way. Sometimes people get locked into this happened this way, so they get locked into it, and that's all they'll do. And God doesn't know, man. I'll do the work. You just yield yourself to me. Is that okay? And yield yourself to the flow of this river. Can you say? Can you be? I mean, I hope you understand what I'm saying. But Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 1. I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. Father, let the river flow. Father, we don't want to know things that we know. We don't want to hear things we know. Father, we want to hear things that we don't know, that we haven't considered. Or maybe we thought about it, but we never realized that you might have been speaking to us, Father. So, Father, open every heart this morning, Lord. Pour your word by your spirit into the lives of those that are here this morning and those that will hear this message as it goes out in the internet, Father. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Father, you deserve all the glory, all the honor. There's none like you, Father. Thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Can I tell you that's the way love works?
Amen.
That what you got, what the love that God has poured in your heart, you want to give it. Is that right?
Yes.
That's just love.
Yes.
That's the godly love. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that God by his spirit pours love into our hearts. Is that okay? So it is a supernatural, spiritual thing to desire to pour love out.
Yes.
Because it's the love of God. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Get used to the fact that your love, your natural love, is no good to you. Get used to that fact. Because God is wants to pour his love into you so that you can minister love in the way it needs to be ministered.
Yes.
Silver and gold, I ain't got none, but such as I have, I'll give it to you.
Amen.
Woo. Hallelujah. Such as I have.
Amen.
And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms in the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. Can you say amen? That's a neat thing. Amen? That's a miracle. We saw a miracle. Look at that guy walking over there, man. Wait, wasn't he the one begging? He's a faker. Yeah, no, he's not. He's been there. He can't walk, but he's walking. Amen? Can I tell you, God makes a difference. All things are possible to those that will, right?
Yeah.
Believe God.
Amen.
All things.
Yeah.
He leaping up and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising. And they knew that it was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that you through ignorance you did it. I understand that through ignorance you did it. Didn't know what you're doing. Can you say amen? As did the rulers. He says, but those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. And this is the scripture I wanted to get to. Repent thee. Repent ye therefore. Be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. How many of you are glad your sins are blotted out? How many of you are happy about that? Yeah. I'll tell you, you need to get happy about that because it's what God has done. It's his work. Amen?
Amen.
Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. How many of you like times of refreshing?
Yeah.
How many enjoy a nice... how many of you like this hot weather? Isn't a nice, cool lemonade or a mangonada? Isn't that nice when it's so hot? How many of you guys like mangonadas? Anybody not had a mangonada? Now, you got to try them. They're good. They're a mangonada rebel. You got to get that one. That's the best one, man. It's a good, man, it's, wow. It's seasonal. Because I think they run out. I don't know. How many of you enjoy a hot day? You go inside and how many of you like to take a shower? Some of you do, not everybody. I can see that. I can tell. Praise God. Yeah, hallelujah. Take a shower, is it? Yeah, come on, yeah. Hey, you know what? Hey, isn't it refreshing?
Yeah.
You get under the, I remember being in Florida, man, about this time of year. Took a shower and got out, it was worse. How many of you guys ever, does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'll tell you what, it was not good. But I'll tell you, I love, when I'm grungy, smelly, stinky, I like going, and man, it is a refreshing, is that right? That water, I don't know about you, but I like that water coming out nice out of that, a nice flow out of that thing. How many of you have ever taken a shower with a dribble? That's no fun at all, man. It really dries. To me, it drives me crazy. You're already crazy, bro. The Bible says here that times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. I was I was at the funeral yesterday, and there was something going on in my heart. I still don't know because I was asking the Lord. But there was something, the Marine Corps Honor Guard came in. My friend was a Marine. And as they came up, they up to the front, and they walked towards each other, and they turned, and where they had his flag, they had a flag folded there, and his pictures, they stood there for a good little time, and they saluted. As soon as they did that, something started... I don't know what, I still don't know. I don't know what God was saying to me. Well, they saluted. And they picked up the flag, stepped back. One guy held it, and they unfolded it, and they brought it all out. And then, well, they would be this way to everybody. And then run, so they got it folded out. They held it up, and they played the taps for the... And then after the song played, they folded the flag back up. And these guys were really good. It was pretty fluffy when they got it the first time. By the time they got it all done, it was nice and flat, corners pointed. It was beautiful. But they did all that. When the guy that was doing the folding, he stood in front of the guy. It was the last few folds. They saluted each other. I felt like I was going to weep. I thought I was going to bust out crying. The salute came in, and then, you know, those salutes, they're a good, think about it, and then they come down really slow, really slow. Handed one guy the flag, he finished, the guy that was folding it handed it to the other guy who actually fixed the corners, I guess, and I don't know what he did. And when he was done, they saluted again. One stepped back and went off. And the one that was holding the flag walked over in front of his wife, took one knee, and handed her that flag. And he stood back up, and he saluted her. I don't know what I was sensing in those salutes. I don't know what it was, but I will tell you that I had a connection with God right then. There was a time of refreshing that came into my heart that I needed it. Last Sunday, you guys might, a lot of folks might say, man, that song, they drilled that song, man. They sang it so long. But I would tell you what, I needed it. Can I just say this to you? My connection with God is important to me. I don't want anything to break that connection. I don't go by feelings. I'm not a guy that goes by feelings. I'm not a guy that goes by emotions. But then when God has this, when there's this point of time when God puts his, and I sense him, ooh, I could stay there all day long. I could be in that position. I could be, folks, I love the presence of God. I love the presence. And folks, I know, this is what I preach. We never get out of his presence. He will never leave us nor forsake you. He's always with us. But God, why don't you just touch me again? Touch me again, Lord. I love the presence of God. How many of you ever been in a dry spot? You feel like God hasn't said, he's not saying anything to you. How many of you ever stood there and, God, are you out there? I know you say you never leave me, but it sure seems like you went for a walk without me. Go to Psalm 84, verses 5 through 7 says this. Oh, how I love the Lord. Oh, it doesn't say that. I just had to say that. Oh, Raki Sambriya Dadaboshati. Blessed is the man or woman. Okay, you guys all right with that? Or ladies. Blessed is a man or woman whose strength is in you. Who? You who? You God. Yes. Whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Hey, can you move it to the King James, please? I don't know what... As they pass through the Valley of Baca, that's where I'm talking about, this dry spot. You ever been in the, you know, the Baca Valley? It's in Israel. And it's a desert, basically. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Next verse. Who passing through the Valley of Baca, make it a well. Do you see that where it says make it a well? You see, with God, you don't dig a well. You make it a while. Is that okay? I'm going to go for some water. You know what I'm saying to you? Listen, you go after God. You say, Lord, I need to tap in to this water that's flowing. Can you say? Do you understand what I'm saying? That flow from God. I need it. God, speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. Because I don't know what's going on. I folks, I know, I said it this morning, but I know if you're praying for Israel, can you help me say amen? If you're praying for the United States, amen, say amen. If you're praying for Russia, if you're praying for yeah, come on. Are you praying for what we consider enemies? Are you praying for them? That's what the Word of God says to do. Pray for your enemy. Pray for those that are in authority over you. Is that right? That we might live a peaceful life. Yeah. Hallelujah. Pray for our president and all of his administration, that God would give them good choices. How many of you are praying for that? Yeah. I mean, even if you don't agree with it, even if you don't agree with them, pray for them. Amen? Yeah. And folks, I will tell you, pray in the Spirit. Yeah. Pray in the Holy Ghost, because He knows what's going on, and He can touch those areas that we got no idea are happening. Can you say amen to that? We got to understand that God gave us a gift, that we are to use this gift, and it's called the Holy Ghost. The praying in tongues, don't be afraid of it. My goodness. What is wrong with us? Do we think we can pray better than God can? Are we crazy? Harako salishititi. Hila rambosa kete. Ibrasikira la boshi. Horaki safrande shate. God is calling us to do the things that He desires, not what we want. We are the people of God, filled with the Spirit of God. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain fills the pools. You see, when you make a well, like right now, somehow a well flowed up, and this rain filled up, and God began to push on my voice. I felt it rise up to my voice box and began to pour out. I don't want to stand in foolishness anymore. That's kind of what my daughter was talking about this morning. Working our own way. I don't want to stand in that. I can't stand in that. The only place I can stand is the place where my God, my Father, picks me up and sets my feet on a solid rock. Yes. That's the only place I can stand. Yes. Check this out. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1 and 2. I want you to look at what God says, because God has always wanted to fill His people with the Spirit. He's always wanted for His people to know and to understand Him. Here's what He says. He says, listen, you heavens. Come on, man. And I will speak. Hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain and my words descend like dew. I just want you to see this. He's talking about His words. He says, and His teaching. Is that what it says? Does it talk about His teaching? He said, I want it to descend like dew. How many know dew is really light? Right? I told you guys about the word real. I was doing a study, and the Lord said, I want you to look at real. I said, real what? Real. It's R-I-L-L. It's a very, very small stream. It's almost the first immediate thing. When it's raining, the first movement, when the water begins to move, that's the rill. Is that okay? And that movement He's talking about is right here. Let my teaching fall like rain and my words descend like dew. Like showers on new grass. Hallelujah. Like abundant rain on tender plants. I like grass. Does anybody like grass? I'm not talking about marijuana. Yeah. But your hands went up and then they went down. I'm just kidding. I like grass. I got grass at my house. You guys have seen my grass. I enjoy working with grass. But one thing I do know, that it takes water grow. It also takes mowing. Did you know that mowing your grass makes it grow better? Did you know that? Because mowing is a form of pruning. So it causes the grass to not only grow better, it reaches out and it gets stronger. Because you're mowing it and you're watering it and all these things, what they call that, photosynthesis. Yeah. It's how things that are living, look at photosynthesis with, it's a weird word for me, photosynthesis. Look at photosynthesis as through a leaf. It's talking about, when it's talking about those leaves, you know what causes photosynthesis? Light. That's what makes it work. It turns light and water into energy for that plant. Isn't that cool? That's something to think about, because that's the way we are. Let light and the flow of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Let it turn into energy in your life. Can you say amen? Ooh, man, folks, well, get ready. Get your swimsuits on. There's something coming. There is a flood coming. Like showers on new grass. Like abundant rain on tender plants. You know what? I didn't even think about talking about this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Did you know when the Bible talks about grass, you know what he's talking about? Man. Man is like grass. That's what he says. And when the sun comes up, it withers away. And is no more. Right? Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just going, you have to look it up yourself. But then it says, everybody say, but. But then it says, the word of the Lord will endure forever. Is that right? So any man of grass, any man that's grass, if you'll take in the word of the Lord, death, where's thy sting? Yeah. Grave, where's your victory? Because the grass has taken on the word. Hallelujah. But thy word endures forever. Hallelujah. How many know you're enduring forever? Yeah, have no connection with death. It's an enemy of God. No sense in anybody dancing with the devil. Can you say amen to that? Dancing with the enemy. Sleeping with the enemy. Tell it to shut up and leave. It's got no point. Got no place in my life. Hallelujah. Grass. I don't know. Yes, I shouldn't have brought it in. I didn't think about talking about that. But right here, it says here where the Lord says, look, listen, I'm going to speak. I remember hearing a pastor say one day that he's never heard God speak audibly. I said, you got to be kidding me. His word. He speaks through his word. You think up a scripture out of nowhere, guess what he's doing? He's speaking audibly to you. Psalm 16, verse 11 says this. Thou wilt show us the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Is that right? At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Is that okay? Are you guys okay with that? See, he's talking about in his presence. God says something. He says, listen, and I will speak. See, there's something about getting into God's presence. And it doesn't have to be in a secluded place. It can be almost anywhere you're at, where it could be sitting and watching guys fold a flag. And all of a sudden, the speaking, the draw, the Holy Spirit. I know it's you, God. I don't know what you're saying to me. What do you want me to do? I don't know how to flow flags. Come on, man. You see. But I recognize the presence of God. And how it brings joy. The presence of God brings joy. And then what does joy bring? What does the Word of God say joy brings? The joy of the Lord is your strength. So you want strength? Get into the presence of God.
Amen.
Psalm 27:14 says this. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on him. Wait continually on him. Can you say
amen?
Can you say amen?
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Is God teasing you?
No.
Is he hiding from you? No. Jesus said it, when we're talking about the Old Testament, mostly talks about waiting on the Lord, but Jesus said it in a different way. He said it, and you, when you pray, enter into your closet. And your Father, enter where it's secret, and your Father who sees in secret, he will reward you openly. Is that okay?
Amen.
Get into the presence of God.
Amen.
I was praying for a new car. Our station wagon was a gas hog. It was a big Pontiac station wagon. Do you remember that car, Tommy? Do you remember it at all? Big. Man. I got it from a garage I was working in. It came in, the engine was blown, and we ordered a used engine for it and put it in, and that thing cost me more money driving it. I should have left it parked, but we drove it to California, and it was a gas hog. So I was at church, and I was praying. I was asking the Lord, God, I need another car. I really could use another car. Can you give me a car? Lord, you know my needs, even before I ask him. Can you bring a good car to me, one that doesn't use so much gas? And while I was praying, all of a sudden, the presence of God. I could feel like I was in the presence of God. Lord, hey, God, thank you. Then I started saying this, but if you want me to drive that car, I'll drive it, Lord. I'll use it however long you... And then Pastor David stopped me. He goes, Henry, what are you doing? You're backing up on your request. What do you mean? He says, man, he goes, you ask him for a car, just leave it there. And don't back up. Just believe him for it. I said, yeah, well, it was just his presence. I mean, can I just tell you that the presence of God seems to cure everything?
Yes.
How many of you know that? How many understand that? That presence, it just seems to pour oil on everything. Whatever you're going through, whatever's happening in your life, whatever people are saying about you, who cares? Get into his presence.
Amen.
And feel that oil of the Holy Ghost begin to be poured into the wounds, into the needs. Hallelujah. Psalm 46:10 says this. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The key verse for today's sermon is Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. And can you bring that up? I want you to just look at this scripture. He said to me, it is done. Is that right? Is that what you guys are reading? That's what I'm reading. It says it's done. Look at your neighbor and say it's done.
It's done.
It is done. It's all done.
It's all done.
I am, he says, the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is thirsty of the fountain of water, of the water of life freely. How much does this water cost you?
Free.
It's free. But are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for what God has for you? Are you thirsty for God himself?
Yes.
Is it something within you that says, I've got to get to God. I've got to find what he says. It's funny. Somehow it's those that are thirsty and those that are hungry for God receive. Can you say amen?
Yes.
You can't fool God. You can't tell him, God, I'm so thirsty for you and I'm so hungry for you, God. And you're not really. God knows your heart. He knows who you are and he knows what you need. And if you will go to him and tell him, God, I'm thirsty for what you have for me. You ever gone into your house and you tell your mom, remember when you're running the house, you've been playing, you say, Mom, I'm thirsty. And she gave you some nice Kool-Aid. Remember that? Ooh, just give that to you. Oh, yeah, that was good. How many of you drank Kool-Aid when you're little? Anybody? Yeah. I liked Kool-Aid. It's basically sugar, water, and color, right?
Yeah.
Kool-Aid. But, man, on a hot day, man, it is wonderful. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's a good thing. God wants to give us the good stuff from heaven. You know, when he said, he goes, if a man asks for bread, will you give him a stone? If a man asks for a fish, will they give him a serpent? He says, how much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give you the Holy Ghost to them that ask? You see, the Father gives. Folks, who cares about your car? Who cares about your house? When you look at it through eternity, it's a pile of dust. It's all it is. But your Father will give you eternal things. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He'll give you the things that you need because he loves you. Get into the river. It really is refreshing. It really is. Can you stand up? Can you stand? Look at that. 1201. Hallelujah. Yeah, come on, man. 1201. Rabokisala raboshanda redekia rialaboshanda. Folks, there's nothing to be compared to the Spirit of God. There is nothing like him.
Yes.
Nothing. Let's not waste our time on frivolous things and let's go after the waters of life. Let's go after the things that God has designed for us. You might not know this, but God has already designed everything you need for you, but you got to go to him for it. Henry can't help you. I can just say things to you. That's about all I get. That's about, I got nothing but what God gives me to give you. That's it. And if he gives me something else for you personally, I'll be sure to get it to you. I will. I'll bring it to you. But if he doesn't, I'm not going to step out. I wait on God and him alone. And that's the way you should be too. You wait on him and him alone. Don't do nothing on your own mindset. Let him lead you and guide you. And let those waters of life flow through you. You'll find that everything changes when you're in the presence of God. Everything changes. Your body becomes, I don't know, did you see me jumping 2 feet off the ground? Your body, everything changes when you get into God's presence.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Showers of blessing. Remember, anybody remember that song? Showers of blessing we need. I don't remember the rest of the words. But showers of blessing. Lord, that's what we need. And the shower of blessing is the water of life into your life. Come on. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for all that we've heard this morning. All those that have spoken, all the words, those that have desired to speak to the body of Christ, Father, I thank you for them. Let them, Father God, I pray that you'd continue to move them in those ways, Lord. Let those waters flow through them. We don't want any Dead Sea people here, Lord. We want waters of life that go in and flow out with love. According to your purpose and your design for our lives, Father. Thank you for those that are here, Father. I ask, Lord, that a mighty flood would come within their walls in their house. A mighty flood. Past the ankles, past the kneecaps, past the thighs, past the hips, Father, but waters to swim in within their own homes, God. Thank you for it. Praise you for it, God. You're worthy of all praise, God. Go forth in Jesus' name. One more thing. Let me just say this to you. Before we were in the building, God told me, I'm going to pray around that building. Praying around the building. And then he stopped me. He said, prophesy to that building. I said, God, I don't know what to say. And out of my innermost being came these words that said, open up, O ye gates. Open up, ye everlasting doors. There were boards all over on all these windows and doors. And he said, open up, O ye gates. Open up, O ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory will come in. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he said, out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow the people of God, taking rivers of living water into the city. How many know in Ezekiel says, wherever those waters touched, they were healed. Amen. Ooh, come on. Come on, Father. Do that with your people this week, Lord. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Hug somebody's neck. Tell them thank you for coming this morning. God bless you. Hallelujah. Radisa Karanda
Bocha. Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.